I hope you have your Bible open to Matthew 13. I do want to ask you to go over to Psalm 78. I'm going to be there just for a moment, and then we'll come back to Matthew 13. So if you want to go to Psalm 78 and mark it, that'll be fine. That just gets you ahead of the game a little bit, and then we'll come right back to Matthew 13. I'm going to begin next few weeks. I want to teach over some of the parables, not all of them. I'm just going to pick some parables out and kind of teach through them, explain some things, and see if we can help a little bit about some of the teachings of Jesus and what he stood for. When you look at the term parable, the Greek word is parabola, and it means to place one thing alongside of the other. What Jesus did when he taught in parables, he came and he took something that was known to man and he lays it out there like this, and then along beside of it, he brings the teaching of what it means, what he's trying to convey about the things of God. Two things laid side by side on each other. And so he was trying to emphasize something that was rather serious that a lot of times most people didn't get, and you'll see that in just a few moments. I want to tell you this because sometimes in the past, information gets, you know, not the best of information. A parable is not an allegory. They're completely different. When you look at an allegory, almost each word has a hidden meaning, a special meaning. You know, in Galatians chapter 4, in verse 24, Paul was using and talking about Sarah and Hagar and talking about the children that are the child of each one of them. And he talked about they stand for two different covenants, the two women did. That not only did they stand for two different covenants, but they also stood for one's Mount Sinai, and the other, you know, is the free woman. And he says there in Galatians 4:24, it's an allegory. Everything meant something. A parable is not like that. A parable is something that is common, and the words don't have hidden meanings. He lays down a common story, a thread that man could understand, and then he comes and he lays a teaching of God beside of it so you could get to see it. A parable is not a fable. A fable involves things that are fantasies. Fables involve things that are not true and real. So parables aren't fables, they're not allegories. A simple story of man that's laid on one side and a teaching from God that's laid on the other. Well, in Psalm 78, look at verse 2, and what the psalmist is talking about, he's talking about the coming Messiah. He's talking about Jesus, we'll see. Look at verse 2. He says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. The prophecy of Jesus, and you know how Jesus would be speaking? In parables. Now you say, well, why'd you have us read that? Come over to Matthew 13. Look at verse 34. Matthew 13, the whole chapter, is filled with parables. Look at verse 34. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. And he did not speak to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things since the foundations of the world. That's the quote out of Psalm 78:2. Why did Jesus speak in parables? To show the people he was the Messiah. They should have gotten that. They should have realized that Jesus coming in, He's the one that God was talking about. People should have been paying attention. The prophets prophesied. He fulfilled that prophecy. Now, you know what's rather interesting about all of this? When Jesus ascended back to the Father, do you know the New Testament writers and the apostles? Did you know they never spoke in parables? Rather interesting, isn't it? Now, those are just some facts to understand. But here Jesus comes into the world, and now he says, I speak to them, the crowds, in parables. And everything he was teaching at this point in time was in parables to fulfill what was prophesied about him. This man was the Christ, was the Messiah. And he came from God, and he was teaching the depths and the insights to God for people to grasp bigger things. But here's what's unique about a parable. Parables that Jesus spoke were giving the opportunity for people to make an assessment of their life and make a move spiritually. And the majority didn't do it. So why parables? Then why did he do it? Well, come back to verse 3 of chapter 13. He said, he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. Notice, he spoke many things in parables. Brethren, I wonder in the church, do we just think they're just nice little stories? Well, if you do, if you don't take the parable seriously, Jesus is dealing with you on something. Look down at verse 9. He who has ears, let him hear. He calls for hearers. They heard words. You hear words from me. You hear words when we have a class. But that doesn't mean you're hearing. A lot of people hear a lot of words, but they're not listening. Faith comes from hearing. And here Jesus finishes a parable, and he calls out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Why does he say that? Look at verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? There's the question. As Jesus calls out, anyone have ears out there listening? The disciples come to him and they ask the question, why do you speak in parables? We want a better understanding. And then Jesus drops the bomb. I mean, this is major. Verse 11. Jesus answered them, to you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. It's been granted to the disciples. It was not granted to the rest of the religious people out there. Disciples, do you want to know the mysteries of the kingdom? Do you want to unfold, have the unfolded mysteries before you? God is granting that to you. To the rest, it is being concealed from them. We need to realize that the parables were not to make things simpler. It was to conceal some things of the mysteries of God from people that do not hear. Yeah, and that's what he's letting them know. It's been granted to you, disciples. It's not been granted to them. It's been concealed from them. Continue on, verse 12. For, and now he begins to explain it, whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. What about the one who has? What about the one who has ears to hear? What about the ones who respond by faith? What is God granting to them? He said, to you, more will be given and you'll have an abundance. You're going to gain more insight. But what about the rest that it was concealed from? Look at the second half of verse 12. But whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from him. There's the key. If you're not responding by faith, you're actually losing ground. You're actually having things taken away from you. Now we say, wow, Jesus is weeding out people right and left. Oh, he would rather everybody would come and listen and understand the teachings and come to God on God's terms. He would love that. But people in all different walks of life and all different areas, just like we have here, people are in different levels. They got different interests. They'll sit through a lesson like this, or they'll sit through a class, whatever they sit through. They're not hearing much of anything. And you know what he says? If you don't have it, you're going to have what you do have taken away. It's eroding you little by little. And I've known over the years, people in Christ, they'll come and they'll say, you know, I used to know that, and I've just forgotten that. No, you didn't forget it. You had it taken away. Parables were to conceal from the most of the people, because people aren't interested, because people don't want to know the mysteries, and they're not going to get it. But only those who were truly disciples, only those who wanted the things of God would get it. And so Jesus said, guess what? There is another spiritual law from God. And you know what that spiritual law is? If you're getting it from God, you're going to be given abundance, and God's going to keep giving it to you. If you don't have it, the things that you even think you have are being taken away. And you don't even know it. They didn't know it. That's the way God works. You see, he's trying to find sincere hearers. Not just people who are filling time and space. Not for people who are thinking they're for obligation purposes. He's weeding out. Well, why speak to them in parables? Look at verse 13. He says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. People seeing with the eyes of their heart and hearing with the eyes of their heart, that's what keeps people from understanding. And God is very aware of that. You see, the parables are for people who have a heart. They want to see the spiritual things of God, and they want to understand the spiritual things of God. And Jesus is going to help them. But for the rest, they're not going to get it. Now come back with me to verse 3 while we're here again. And I want to read this to you. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil, and it yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus, why are you teaching us talking about farming? This is agriculture 101, Jesus. We're sitting here expecting you to teach us something from God, and you're talking about going out and sowing a bunch of seed, and people know that if it falls on the road, the birds are going to eat it up. People know what happens when seed falls on rocky places. People know what happens when there's a lot of weeds and thistles and thorns. Jesus, what in the world are you talking about? And if you notice from this point, not one person other than his true disciples asked him what it meant. They had a good parable, but it made no sense. Why are you talking about farming? And they didn't come ask. They didn't want to hear. In Luke's account, it said the disciples came to him privately. Yeah, they want to know, guess what? These disciples that came to Jesus had a heart, and they heard a principle about farming, and they said, this must have something to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and I want to know what those mysteries are. And Jesus said, to you it's going to be granted. To the rest of them, they're going to walk away from here, and they're going to be telling their friends and their families, you know what we heard today? This fellow who calls himself the Messiah, the Christ, the fellow who everybody's talking about is a prophet of God. He talked about farming and wasted my time. Now that's their attitude. And so therefore, these very people who should be the people of God, who should be responding, who should be listening, who should have known the psalmist said back there, he would be coming and he would speak in parables. They should have known that was the Messiah, and they end up and they kill him. Because you see, the very things you thought you had are taken away. Lord's got control of all of these things, brethren. And there's nothing different today. This isn't a nice story. We so happen to have it written out that it tells us what it's about. And we sit there, but the question is, can you make application to your life? Hey, I'm that heart. Hey, I'm that heart. Hey, that's me. That's my heart. You got to make application to you. That's what all of this parable was about. Can you make application and say, that's me. That's where I want to be. That's where I don't want to be. I don't want to be that away. Yeah. And so he speaks in parables. And for the majority, it's all concealed. It's preventing them from understanding anymore about God. And that is so foreign to us. We don't teach that in the church. I don't know why. But somewhere along the line, we know God wants everyone to be saved, but if anyone's going to be saved, it's going to be saved because of the basis that God lays it out, not what man lays out. It's going to be based on what he's looking for, and he's looking for faith. He's looking for hearts that are given to God. He's not looking for religion. Now, he doesn't want that. That's why he speaks in parables. And none of the other people came and asked him a word. What did you mean by this agricultural lesson that we could have got at school? No one asked. And they're not getting any more. Well, come on down to verse 14. In their case, now if you notice that their case, who's the there? The ones that didn't ask. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing but will not understand. You will keep on seeing but will not perceive. Boy, one of the most dangerous grounds that any of us could ever walk on is not being able to perceive what in the world is happening in your life. Not being able to perceive what's going on. When you don't perceive things, you can't tell if you're in trouble or if you're good. You can't tell where you stand with the Lord because you have no perception from the case that you're not hearing anything and you're sure not seeing anything, and therefore there's no understanding. Nice story. But it's fulfilling what Isaiah said would happen to them. God's right again. Verse 15. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and return, and I would heal them. Oh, otherwise, if they would see with their eyes, if they would hear with their ears, if they would understand with their hearts, I could heal them. But the problem is their hearts have become dull. That's what concerns me about me. I don't want my heart to become dull. I don't want to get to a point where everything is by rote, where everything it means very little to me. Nothing's coming in anymore. I'd like to heal them, God said. That's the mystery. But I'm not. I'm not going to do it because their hearts have become so dull and insensitive. And you know, that'd be a good place for you and I to ask ourselves. Is your heart dull and insensitive? I mean, if we were to go down through, and we're not going to do it, if we were going to go down through this parable, am I the person that have pleasures of the world means more to me than God? Am I the person that has worries of the world that chokes out the Word of God? Is that me? Well, if that's you, you better be making some application, making some serious moves. But if none of it's you, you're not hearing anyway. You're not making application. And so you're seeing, you're hearing, but you have no perception or understanding. That's what Isaiah said would happen. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and the righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. All those prophets back there, all those righteous men back in those Old Testament times, they were talking of the Jesus, the Messiah. They were talking of the Savior of the world. They would have loved to heard a message from Jesus. They would have loved to seen the things this Messiah did. They would love to have been there. But you know what? To you disciples of mine, you are blessed because your eyes they see, your ears they hear, your heart is alive. And when your heart is alive in Christ, for God, you will be a blessed person. If your heart's not, things begin to be concealed from you. And even the things that you think you have, they're being taken away. That's the principle. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. So my question this morning to you, are we dull of hearing? Are we growing dull of hearing? Let me ask you this. And you just talk in your own heart, you and God about it. Can you honestly say that you are as interested and alive and on fire as you once were about the things of God? And if you're not, and if you knowingly know you're not, the next question is why? Because you're dealing with a real God. And you're dealing with a God that doesn't play those games. You're dealing with a God who's looking for hearers and hearts so He can open up bigger things. What's made us back off? Because the law is, whoever does not have even what they think they have is taken away. And to whoever has, to them more is given. That's the law. And God controls that. You think about it this morning and you look at yourself. You apply it to you. and you see, am I alive in Jesus? Does he really mean everything to me?